Well, I'm so thankful that he's my God. Very real and a very personal God. And yet I have no monopoly on him. Every one of us can be hooked up with him, have his grace and his help in our lives, and appreciate that so much. Appreciate your prayers this morning. The Lord bless his word to our hearts and get across what he would have for us this morning. I'd like to begin in the book of 1 Peter with a familiar verse, I'm sure to all of us. 1 Peter, the 5th chapter. Beginning in the 8th verse, 1 Peter 5 and 8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." I want to consider, by the Lord's help this morning, resisting the devil. It's something that is essential to every one of us, because there is an enemy of our soul. There is an adversary that the scripture here talks about. One who stands against us. One that opposes our desire that I trust and believe every one of us here this morning has, to live for the Lord and to make heaven. There's an adversary to that. We can know when we start out for the Lord that it's not going to be unopposed. That we're not going to be able to have just smooth sailing. It wasn't promised to us. That wasn't what the promise of God was about. We are to know, to not be ignorant of the fact that there is an adversary of our souls. And his purpose, his activity is that he's walking about. He's not a passive adversary. It's not just that he doesn't like us and he's sitting in his realm wishing bad things for us. But he is an adversary that is very actively and very daily seeking, looking out, making the active purpose of and trying to fulfill his desires in an active and a daily way against us, the adversary. Well, the idea of the devil is not a new idea to any of us. When is the last time that you encountered the devil? It's probably not been very long. And in a sense, I hope it's not been too long. Because if we find ourselves in life going through life smooth sailing, you might want to look out. If it seems like we haven't come face to face against this adversary, it says, be sober, be vigilant, watch out, keep your eyes open for him, because the enemy knows no tactics of diplomacy. He knows no mercy. He knows no such thing as, okay, they've had enough. Well, I'm going to give them some reprieve now and back off and to have a sense of compassion, as many times many of even the most cold-hearted people can be touched in some way. The enemy of our souls is not. He's ruthless. And his desire is to seek whom he may devour. Jesus told us, gave us some insight into what the enemy's purpose is, found in the 10th chapter of John. John, the 10th chapter and the 10th verse, says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. You know, it's an important part of battle to understand who the enemy is. And to understand what the enemy is doing. It's an important part of any strategy and tactic of warfare is to be able to understand the position of the enemy. To be able to, just because you don't see the enemy in view, don't just relax, don't just take it easy. You need to be able to understand where he's at, because I don't trust him. I don't trust the enemy. I don't trust him to say, well, you know what, it's after curfew. You know, it's too late. They're trying to get some rest tonight. I don't trust the devil. I don't trust the enemy. So I need to be able to be vigilant. I need to be able to be watchful. Lord, help me to see where the enemy is. I don't say this to be an exact thing, but half the battle sometimes is knowing where the enemy is and recognizing the enemy. Because as we'll look at as we go along this morning, it's not an enemy who comes and presents himself most of the time as the devil. This enemy of our soul, though, is no less ruthless. He is intent on stealing, killing, and destroying. But jump ahead just a little bit. My entirety of the message is not looking at the devil. I really don't like talking about him even that much. Jesus says, but I have come. Here's what the enemy's purpose and his plans, his desire for every one of us is. But I have come that they might have life in the face of the enemy of their souls, despite his desire and his purposes that he's trying to work for every one of them. I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. But our part is to resist him. Lord, help us to be able to see and recognize where he's at. Recognize who he is. That we not get complacent. That we not get numbed or desensitized to the awfulness of what the enemy is trying to work. Scripture says, if we just consider for a moment what the scriptures tell us about the devil, he is a liar and the father of it. He is a murderer. He is a deceiver. He is our enemy. He is the tempter. He is the evil one. He is the ruler of demons. He is the accuser of the brethren. My desire is to expose him a bit. And I pray that the Lord would help every one of us to be able to see where the enemy's working. Because it's not just an abstract idea of evil. This is a force of evil that is set against every one of us with the intent and the ability, if we're not watchful and prayerful, if we face him in our own strength alone, he has the ability to devour us. So the scripture says, whom resist? So knowing this is the enemy, knowing this is his purpose and his plan to discourage us, to steal from us, to kill us, to destroy us, what are we then to do? Our position is to be resisting him steadfastly. To resist is to set oneself, to stand against, to oppose. Whenever the Nazi force was sweeping across Europe, there were those who were known as the underground or the resistance. They were those who were, though maybe they were few in number, and yet they were opposed to what the enemy was doing, what he was trying to do with their country. They were opposed to it, and they set themselves to undermine and work against the enemy, though it could cost and often did their lives. How much do we resist the devil? You know, that's what it is our responsibility to do. The enemy will come against every one of us. But we need not see the enemy and his tactics and just say, oh, here he comes again. We are to resist the devil. We're not to just ignore his workings. We are to resist the devil. We are to stand against him and all he is and represents and is trying to do in our hearts and in our lives. Lord, help us to resist whenever the enemy comes, to stand against him. 2 Corinthians, 2nd chapter. Second Corinthians 2:11 says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices. You know, we're not to be ignorant of what the enemy is trying to do in our lives. The scripture says in one place that Satan himself is transformed as an angel of light. The enemy has a very deceptive way of working. You remember the time whenever a band of men came to Joshua, when Joshua had been given an explicit command not to spare any of the inhabitants of the land, and there came a tribe of people unto Joshua, and they had old clothes and old sandals and hard, moldy bread, and they said that we be come from a far country. We're not part of this land that God told you to destroy. And Joshua, in looking at that, it says they sought not the Lord. But they looked and they made an assessment based on what they were able to see, based on the danger that they were able to detect or not detect. We're not enough in ourselves to stand against the enemy of our souls. We don't have the discernment in ourselves to be able to rightly decipher where the enemy is trying to work. We have a nation of people today that, by and large, they're grappling with the symptoms of the sins that they have imbibed, and yet never willing and wanting to deal with the cause of the sin that's bringing it on. They want to look at the symptoms of shootings and violence and all these things that are happening, and deal with it symptomatically, but never deal with the cause of the problem. Never be able to recognize and identify there is evil. There is a cause of evil. There is a source of evil. And it's not about a mental treatment in and of itself. It's not about the device that somebody used to execute that evil. It's about an adversary of our souls that set about long ago to destroy the very underpinnings of our nation and destroy the very faith that it was built upon. And we're now beginning and have been reaping the consequences of that. But yet so many people are blinded to see where the enemy's working. They can recognize something's wrong, recognize that something's going on. They can even perhaps recognize in other people's lives the evil that manifests itself, and yet are blinded to the evil that crops up within their own hearts and in their own lives, and unable to see where the enemy is planting those same kind of snares within their own hearts and lives. We are not to be ignorant of Satan's devices. We're not to trust in our own strength and our own abilities. If Joshua would have told those men, hold on a minute, give us a little while, we're going to go seek the Lord about this. You know, I believe it would have had a different outcome. The outcome that followed instead, followed after the children of Israel, is a snare for generations to come. They didn't ask of the Lord. Lord, help us to be able to recognize what the enemy is trying to do in our lives, individually and collectively, to not be ignorant of his devices. So how do we see what we otherwise in ourselves wouldn't be able to see? I'd like to remind us of a story in 2 Kings, found in the 6th chapter. Beginning in the 8th verse, the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, Beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. And he called his servants and said unto them, Will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, None, my lord, O king. But Elisha the prophet that is in Israel telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. As I mentioned, it's so important in warfare to be able to understand and get a report of where the enemy is working. If you can infiltrate and be able to get intel that says tomorrow at this time there's an attack is going to be staged, you can counter that and be able to thwart that. Well, this happened over and over again. The king of Syria, who was a fearsome rival, came against the king of Israel, and in his best strategy of warfare and the best laid plans that he laid out, every time he got there, there was the army of Israel. How did they know that? There was no way they could have known. There's no way. We didn't tell anybody. We didn't broadcast it. We went about it the way that nobody would have thought of. Nobody should have been able to know or expect that this is what we were going to do. And yet they did. Yet they headed it off before we were able to do anything. Folks, if God be for us, who can be against us? Isn't this the God that we'd want to have fighting on your side? To be able to tell the prophet what the king is whispering in his bedchamber. The plans that the enemy is making and laying before it even comes to pass. Because whenever the siege is on, it's often too late. You know, we can go through life in reaction mode. We can go through life being blindsided by the devil time and time and time again. I didn't see that one coming. How did this happen? How did this befall me? Peter was blindsided. Peter came to a place that he thought he would never be in. Came to a place that he thought he had the strength. Never. That's not where the devil's working. Never will he be able to get me in that kind of place. I'll never deny you, though everybody else will. I know my own heart. I know my determination. I know my ability here, and that's not something I'm going to do. But he was blindsided, if you will. He found himself in a place that whenever temptation hit, he didn't have the strength to be able to withstand it. Folks, we need the strength before the battle comes. And the Lord is faithful to our souls to warn us, to endeavor to warn us, to endeavor to tell us, here's where the enemy's trying to work. Be careful over here. Watch this thing over here. Because the enemy has some plans that he's trying to work. And I may not be able to see it yet, but if we will follow and trust in the Lord, he is able to expose where the enemy's trying to work. Well, did he do it with Peter? He tried. Peter, watch him pray. The spirit is willing, Peter, but the flesh is weak. You don't recognize it, but Peter, I'm telling you, now is the time to pray. Now is the time to get ready. Folks, if we'll follow the pricks of the Spirit and be, it's why it's so important for us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because I need something on hand. I need something within myself. When the enemy comes in like a flood, that I not just be swept away. When the enemy comes in, when temptation besets me, I'm going to have something to keep me. I'm going to have something that I can stand against the devil and not turn and run from him, or not be overrun and swept over as Peter was. Scripture talks about in Proverbs that the prudent man foreseeth the evil, and he hideth himself. He sees it before it comes, and he makes preparation for it. Strengthens and fortifies maybe that area that recognized the enemy's trying to work. But it says the simple man passes on, doesn't even take notice, doesn't even observe. Everything's all right and I'm doing just fine. And they're punished. Whenever the evil day comes, whenever the day of temptation and trial comes, they're not able to stand. Many people start out in this way. And by down the road, something comes along and they're not able to stand. But you know, it doesn't have to be so. This is a formidable foe. And we are to have a respect for the enemy and what he's capable of doing. By respect, I mean an appreciation of the fact that I am no match against him. I am no match for his wiles. I'm not intelligent enough to be able to discern and understand everywhere the enemy is trying to work. Because he is subtle. He works through wiles, through tricks, through deceit. And I'm not able to figure it all out. I'm not able to withstand him in my own ability, in my own strength. But there's one that's able. Well, this king of Syria, whenever he found out it was Elisha, well, we're going after Elisha now. They went and asked where Elisha was, and they encamped around about it. And that brings us to the story that I love. When Elisha and his servant looked out and saw the whole host of the Syrians camped around about him. Well, now what? Elisha didn't even seem to be concerned. The Lord opened his eyes to see, because he knew that the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. And Elisha had a vision of that, to recognize there's no need to fear. There's no need to be alarmed, because I see through the eyes of faith. I see something more here. Greater is he that is within us than he that is in the world. And the enemy of our soul, part of his tactic in going about as a roaring lion, is to cause us to fall into submission. It's to cause us through his roaring, through his threats, through his fears. You know, the enemy is, he's a painter with some dark colors. And the enemy knows how to paint a picture in our minds that'll about make me want to give up and surrender before it ever materializes. The enemy wants to so threaten and bring such doubts and such fear to me as a roaring lion that I tremble and I run from my place of refuge in the Lord. But the Lord wants us to recognize that the enemy is no match against him. If God be for us, who can be against us? If this kind of God who exposes every place the devil is trying to work, if he be for us, how can the devil infiltrate by his surprise attacks? If the one who fights for us is the God of heaven, how can the enemy of our soul overcome us? The Lord's plan, of course, is that none of us be overcome. None of us be overwhelmed by the enemy of our souls, but that we would be able to resist him, to stand against him steadfastly. Not just whenever the saints are around, but steadfast is a solidness. It's a consistency to be able to stand steadfast against the enemy. Thank the Lord that there is one. We read about in 1 John, the 3rd chapter. Scripture talks about in another place about the strong man that keepeth his goods secure. But then a stronger than the strong man comes. Jesus is the stronger than the strong man. Third chapter here of 1 John in the 8th verse says, "He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." That's the Lord's purpose. That's why he came. That's what he came to do, that the works of the devil in our lives and our families and the congregation, the Lord came to destroy those works. The Lord came, as think about the Iron Dome over Jerusalem in modern times, that has intercepted missile after missile after missile. Intercepts it and shoots it down before it ever is able to penetrate. Folks, the Lord wants to be our defense in the glory round about us. The Lord is able to keep us, to keep those that fear and trust in Him. The Lord is able to preserve us, who is able to keep us from falling throughout our lives. He has come to destroy the works of the devil through his tactics, through his wiles, through his deceit. The plans that he has laid for you and me, the Lord has come to destroy those. The Lord has come to take out those, if I can continue the analogy, to take out those bunkers, to take out those strongholds, to take out those places that the enemy would try to entrench himself in our lives. The Lord has come to destroy the works of the devil. The enemy, again, is no match for the Lord. So how then could he ever overcome a child of God? By causing us to forget the source of our strength, by getting us into a place of complacence where we forget our dependence upon God, by getting us into a place where we lose sight of who God is, where we begin to fear at the roaring of the enemy. I've used the analogy before of hunting birds. If you ever go pheasant hunting, a number of different game birds, you've got to flush them out. There's no real hunting while they're hidden. So you send a dog in or you send something in to try to flush them out of their place of hiding. You know, that's what the enemy wants to do with us, is flush us out of a safe place. The song says, "And in his grace is a hiding place, unknown to any foe." The enemy is not able to penetrate the grace of God. The scripture says that his grace is sufficient for us. Where sin did abound, the grace of God did much more abound to keep us from the fiery darts and the wiles of the enemy. But again, it's our place to withstand. It's our place to stand fast and to stand firm. I'd like to look now to passage in the 6th chapter of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in the 10th verse, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." It lets me know that if we are to do something to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, if we don't do something, we won't be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Take on these things that the Lord has provided for us to be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." You know, we're going to have to be determined to withstand the enemy. We're going to have our minds made up, because if we're a sunshine soldier, we're not going to last very long. If we're in it for the wrong reasons, if we're not fully sold out and determined, whenever the evil day comes, whenever the battle gets hot around us, I'm going to decide it's time to go home. The Lord wants us to resist, to stand against the enemy. no matter how hot the battle. Having done all we know, you ever been in a place that, Lord, I don't know what else to do. I don't know where else to go. I've prayed, I've rebuked the devil, and it seems like I'm still bombarded. You ever been bombarded? Your thoughts, your mind, one after another, and it's tiring, it's grueling. You say, Lord, how long? Lord, when is this going to be over? The scripture tells us to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about, having done all, everything that we know to do, stand. Lord, I may, if I die standing here, I'm going to stand. I'm not going to turn and run. I'm not going to fly the white flag. Lord, by your grace and by your help, I'm going to stand against the enemy. The scripture talks about, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. But our place is to stand firm. There's no victory for, there's no crown the Lord can give us if we turn and run. If we acknowledge before we ever start, this thing is too big for me. This thing is too great. There's no use even trying. Those kind of thoughts are from the enemy. You've tried before. You're not going to be able to. Lord, help us that our faith would be inspired to realize and remember what God is able to do. That it's not me. It's not my own strength here. But it's the Lord. The Lord rebuke thee. I'd like to look at, in closing, in the book of James. James, the first chapter. The verse that we just read, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. I'd like to look at the fourth chapter as well. It says in the seventh verse, submit yourselves, therefore, to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But it gives us a little more instruction in the verse preceding. It says, he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. You know a recipe to be overcome by the wicked one? Pride. Complacency. Being in a place, the scripture talks about, to him that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. Folks, we don't have the strength and the grace within ourselves, no matter who our family is, our lineage, how many years we've been among the saints, or how well we know the truth. Every one of us need the grace of God working in our lives on a daily basis, or we're not going to be any match. Well, it's not going to matter when I stand against the enemy. Say, oh, hey, Satan, just let me remind you, I'm the pastor here in Springfield. He doesn't care. Folks, it is the grace of God working within our hearts and in our lives in an active, daily manner. There is, thank the Lord, a spirit of grace. Scripture says, not doing despite under the spirit of grace. You know, it's that spirit of grace, that Holy Spirit, that is the one who does like the Lord did for Elisha, who warns us to say, the enemy's over here, that exposes where the devil's working and says, be careful over here. You're weak over here. The enemy's not opposing, but if and when he does, you're not strong enough to be able to withstand that spirit of grace. And when the Lord shows us a need, the Lord gives us the grace to deal with it. And it's important for us to be able to distinguish between the voice of the Lord and the voice of Satan. Because this enemy of our soul, who disguises himself as an angel of light, he'll quote scripture. He'll try to blend in with our own thoughts and our own mind till we get to a point sometimes that I don't know who this is or where this is coming from, if where this thought is coming from. Lord, I need your spirit to be able to help me to identify where the enemy is, to be able to identify where the battle is, to be able, again, it's many times half the battle, to recognize, all right, this thought is from the enemy. This thought is from the devil. And I know what to do with it then. I know to handle it differently then. To be able to say and recognize this problem that I'm having with so-and-so, this isn't about them. This is about the enemy coming in and trying to take advantage. That scripture that we talked about or read that said, lest Satan should get an advantage over us, was talking about Paul's dealings with the brethren. Lest Satan should be able to come in and get an advantage over us. The enemy will try between brethren, between spouses, on the job, in whatever way he can, to come in and take an advantage. Lord, help us to be able to have the early warning indicators incoming. There's something on its way, that I can be able to be so attuned to the Spirit of the Lord that I recognize that's from the devil. That's not like God. That thought that just came to me, and well, you know, maybe there's some truth to it. But it brings this sense of condemnation and confusion to my mind and guilt and discouragement. No, I know whose fruit that is. I know whose works those are. And the Lord has come to destroy the works of the devil. That we'd be able to wage an effective warfare against the enemy of our soul. But to wage an effective warfare, it starts with recognizing who the enemy is, with a determination to stand against and to resist him. Otherwise, we may be feeling all right today, but the evil day is coming. The time of temptation is coming. When we're going to have something within us to withstand. Maybe nobody else is around. I am so thankful for the encouragement. You hear me say it from time to time. I am thankful for the encouragement of the saints. I am thankful for the strength that we draw from one another. But folks, it's not enough to have this by proxy. It's not enough to just have the encouragement that we feel one from another by being in one another's presence. It is to provoke us unto good works. It is to say, Lord, I need something for myself. I'm going to have something for myself when you're not around. And you will when I'm not around. We're going to have something to be able to stand against the enemy of our soul. And it's not just out in the places of the world where Satan abides and he works. You know, Satan doesn't mind coming and sitting on the front pew at church. If he can distract us, if he can bring thoughts of discouragement, confusion, the enemy is at hand. But I want us to be encouraged today that there is one who has come to destroy the works of the devil. As we heard in Sunday school this morning, we're not alone. The Lord didn't leave us out here on the battlefield and say, I hope you can make it. But he put us on the battlefield and said, here's the armor that you're going to need. Here's everything you're going to need to defend you. And my Spirit is going to guide you in where you are. We have today the Global Hawk or other, in our nation, other unmanned aerial drones that provide surveillance over the battlefield and is able to tell that the resolution of that satellite, well, it's not satellite, but that image from high flight is so precise that it can tell exactly what's going on and who's moving where and when somebody left their house, are able to know that. Folks, you think the Lord is going to leave us any less equipped? You think the Lord is going to just thrust us out in the battle and you're not going to know what's coming and where the enemy is? The Lord, the great God of heaven, His eye is over the righteous and His ear is open unto their prayer. And the Scripture says something about the Lord wanting to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect towards Him. Unto those who aren't just battling the enemy in their own strength, Lord, I need Your grace. Lord, I need Your strength. I've prayed often, Lord, expose the devil. Expose where he's working. He thrives in darkness. Lord, shine Your light and expose where the enemy's trying to hide and lurk. And the great God of heaven, looking down and seeing where I am and seeing where the enemy is, and seeing where he's moving, is able to alert me and say, Clint, watch your flank. Clint, be careful over there. And he's able to alert us. The Lord has equipped us to be able to have the victory. That we need not, one song says, we'll sing victory with all our might. Sing of defeat, no, never. The song of a Christian is not to be one of defeat. It's not to be one of saying, well, you know what, we're just victims to sin. We're just going to fall into sin over and over. That's not what the Lord's plan is for us, thank the Lord. But He has the victory and the strength to be able to keep us blameless until the day when He comes for us. What a day that'll be. No more Satan. You ever remind the devil of his end? Well, maybe it's more to remind ourselves. But to remind ourselves that he is a defeated foe. I've read the back of the book and we win. I know how this turns out. If I will but stand faithful until that day, there's coming a day when the enemy will be cast into the lake of fire. And his ability to tempt and discourage and deceive and lie and steal and kill and destroy will be over. We'll be safe in the arms of Jesus. We're not there yet. But the Lord has a way of keeping us, everyone, by His grace and by His Spirit of grace. You pray for me. Amen.